Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, the only reason Jalen Brunson won't get it tonight, Brian, is he may not have to play much at all in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's a good point. He may be out there until he gets 40, and he might be trying to get it right here in the third. And the Knicks have the ball as we approach the one-minute mark.
And Joe Mazzulla is going to pull the plug.
We just got out tough the last two games. We haven't played to our standard. A turn of physicality. The game has shifted a little bit, and it's going to shift even more in the playoffs. And we ain't meet the whistle for whatever reason. It could be just because of anticipation for the playoffs or whatever, but that's what I'll say. We're going to nip that in the bud, though.
Or are they? That's Jaylen Brown after the Celtics lose 118-109 to the Knicks last night at TD Garden. You may look at it and go, whatever. They lost a relatively close game to New York. If you just woke up and look at the box score, how much did the guys really play in the game? Celtics had nothing to play for. Whatever, no big whoop. But if you watch the game, they were down 31 with their starters. Mazzulla pulled the starters, I think down 29 is when he actually pulled them. And they went on a run without their guys. Jalen Brunson torched them. They've now lost two consecutive games against desperate teams where the Celtics have gone through the motions. And we're asking you, online, at Jones and Mego, you can vote in our big question of the day. You can also dial us up, 617-779-7937. After those two losses, what's your concern level with the Celtics? High, medium, low, or zero? Mego, how'd you vote?
Low. I can't say zero because they haven't won yet. So, of course, like, I'm going to have some doubt. But what's going on right now is the Eastern Conference is just a big old mess. Like, it's just messy as heck, and the Celtics are sitting above all of it. They have everything clinched. It doesn't matter for them. And I would just look at the history of the NBA Finals champions over the last three seasons. The Nuggets were 5-5 in their last 10 of the regular season. The Warriors in 2022 were 5-5 in their last 10 games of the regular season. And the Bucks were 6-4 in their last 10 of the regular season. You're 5-3 right now in the last 8. You have two more to go. I think you're going to probably be 7-3. Maybe you'll be 6-4, somewhere in this area. I'm just not that worried based on these games because I don't think that they mean much for them, and I don't think that the Celtics are really going in with much game planning, execution, any of this stuff. Now, you can say maybe that's bad for the mindset. Maybe if they're trying to set some standard, all this stuff that we hear Joe Mazzulla preach, that's bad for that they're not flexing those muscles, those kind of mental, emotional muscles. But I still can't sit here and say, like, wow, I'm really worried about where this team is trending because I don't think that they're full steam right now.
Okay, so Mego, not quite where Jaylen Brown is. Jaylen sounds a little concerned. Mego's concern level is low. Arkham, where are you?
Mine's very high. I'm very concerned about this team. I've always in the back of my mind, and this may be part of it too, is the fact that it's hard to trust them. It's been hard for me to trust the Celtics team and to believe that they're going to carry this into the playoffs just based on the way that they've crashed and burned in the last couple of years, and it's times when they've been the favorites. It's not like they were some scrappy underdog, you know, like the Nuggets or some of these other teams that hadn't won yet and weren't expected to go out there and win. The Celtics are in this unique position of never having won crap, but still being the team that everybody expects and have this big target on their back because of how well they played this regular season. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Suns 2 years ago. The Suns 2 years ago were a 64-win team. They were 8 games up on their closest team in the West, which I think was Memphis, and no one was really close to them regular season. And they got beat in the second round by Luka Doncic and Jalen Brunson, ironically, and that was the end of that. So, I mean, you can have a great regular season, but if you're showing signs of this against the only teams that are still competitive or still competing down the stretch here in the Bucks and the Knicks, I don't think the Hornets or the Wizards are going to show you anything, but these are teams that you may face, and they made mincemeat out of you this week. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, I don't look, I don't think the Celtics are going to be playing their starters against Charlotte, right? I'm pretty much the whole team is questionable tonight, so that one I wouldn't hold my breath on. But just to flesh out your point, Arkin, and I know the Bucks had an injury consideration last year, but the Bucks had 58 wins last year. They were the quote-unquote best team in the NBA. They
not
were
by
out,
a ton, though. I mean, it wasn't
no,
like yeah.
They were out in round one. Yeah. Phoenix a couple of years ago, to your point, 64 wins out in round two. Who was it in 2020? Or I'm sorry, 2021 rather. It was the Jazz. The Jazz had the most wins that year.
Is that the COVID year?
They don't win anything ever. Even when they had Stockton and Malone, they don't win anything. The Bucks won 56 in 2000, and the Lakers
in 2020. You mean?
I'm sorry, in 2020. The Lakers won the most games that year. The year the Bucks won. I'm sorry, this is the year Toronto won, the Bucks. Like, who's the last team to win who led the NBA in wins? Who's the last team that happened to? When was the last time that happened? The Rockets won 65.
Warriors, maybe?
In 2018. Yeah, maybe one of those Golden State teams? Yeah, that probably is it. Golden State won 67 in 2017. That's the last time, I think, unless I missed one in there, just going through it quickly, just fleshing out Arkan's point. And so, I don't know. I'm sure in Phoenix a couple of years ago, or in Milwaukee, and the Bucks ended up breaking through and winning a title, but there was a year where they had the most wins. I said Utah had the most wins, and not everybody's running circles around the league and lapping the league like the Celtics are. Fair point. But when's the last time the team with the most wins in the NBA actually cashed in a championship? And so, look, my concern level is low. I'm sorry, zero. I'm not concerned about this team. I'm not concerned about these last two losses. I wish they won. I wish they didn't lose to the Knicks and lose to the Bucks and get out-rebounded and look disinterested. But I'm not concerned about any of these teams in the East. I'm really not concerned about anybody in the NBA. And if they choke, then I ignored it. I'm whistling past the graveyard. I missed it again with this team. But I have zero concern. That's me, Adam Jones, radio host. I don't like hearing that so much out of the Celtics themselves. Here's Jason Tatum after the game, where, as Mego pointed out, he's very concerned about the refs. But I really wonder if anything else in his life concerns him ever. Here's Tatum.
It's one game. We lost two in a row. It doesn't define who we are. Right? We've had a great season thus far and a great job of managing the season. Right? Play 82 games. We've had a bad three days. But overall, best record in the league. We 15 games ahead of second place. We're not perfect, but you know we can learn from these. And it is a tough position to be in, but we asked for it, so, you know, we do got to be better.
Okay, nothing to see here, says Jason Tatum. That's nothing compared to Kristaps Porzingis, who I can't wait until they're down like 0-3 in a series, and he's just like, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. Good
got
thing
punched
we,
in the face. It's awesome. Yeah.
Good thing we got punched in the face. We really needed this. So I hate listening to Porzingis after losses, but here he is.
Maybe we'll get our ass kicked again one more time and start the series. Who knows? And then it's a wake-up call for us. But most likely, if I had to bet, I would say we'll show up at the level that we need to show up. It's on us, and yeah, I don't think it's a habit for us.
Okay, so that's Porzingis after the game. I have zero concern. I don't like the Celtics saying they have zero concern about it. Like that, the optics of that I don't like. When the team's like, eh, no big deal, it's one game. Or, I don't think this is going to happen to us in the playoffs. I'd like them to be a little more on guard than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it sounds like they're just completely over it. And the question would be, have they earned the right to act over it?
No.
Have they? They're not the Warriors after winning multiple championships being like...
Or LeBron.
Whatever. You know what we actually want? We want a quick commute to the first round opponent. Like, they can't really talk that way. Yes, they've been fantastic for the most part in the regular season, but there's a certain level of hubris, I think, that they're showing by being like, well, we're just going to, like, you know, basically sleepwalk through these final games. All that to say, I can't pretend like my concern level is at an all-time high right now, because I really don't think there's anyone in the Eastern Conference who can seriously threaten them and keep them from getting back to the finals.
Okay, go vote. 34% agree with Mego, low concern. 29% say medium, they got to get it together. 27% agree with me, zero concern. Hashtag banner 18. Only 10% agree with Arcan, high, terrified.
Me and my anxious brethren.
Of what's gone on. So you can vote at Jones and Mega. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. That's on our Celtics conversation. Also, a bunch of you waiting patiently on what we were discussing with the Patriots, Tom Brady, what they're doing at 3, etc. Robert is in Springfield waiting patiently. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, you have a quick comment. Do you think those video that Tom Brady came on the barbershop talking about coming back to the past, you think that might influence them to go back to picking the receiver for the third pick?
I don't, and thank you for the phone call, Robert. But if Brady were really serious about coming back, hell yeah. I mean, they'd be in an ideal spot. Is he 46 now?
Yes.
46? Will he be 46 all season, or is he turning 47? You think he'll be 47?
I think he'll be 47. Yeah, he's 47 in August.
So he'll be 47.
47, yeah. He'll be 47
to start
the year. He would
have to put some, like, serious weight on to get hit again.
Yeah?
He'd have to beef up.
He still looks like a fat Jaden Daniels out there. Like, I think he'd mostly be fine. So 47-year-old Brady with Marvin Harrison, 10 wins. I'm completely on board with that. Yeah, 10, 11, 12 wins.
I'm sold. Give it to me.
Roger
okay,
that.
So I'm with Robert in Springfield on that. How about Gary in the car, also waiting patiently? Go ahead, Gary.
How's it going, guys? So, I'm surprised that people aren't talking about the Pats trading up. I think the only way that Robert Kraft, and I think Robert Kraft is the biggest problem with the Patriots overall, they to save face with this team, they got to trade up. I think that you have to take Marvin Harrison. My comparison to that is
why do they have to trade up to get Harrison? No, you hang on. Answer my question. Why do they have to trade up to get Harrison? I don't get that.
I'm going to agree with both of you. They need a quarterback too. Ready? I don't like Drake May. The Giants are locked in Drake May. I can guarantee that because I'm a Giants fan, okay? They're locked in Drake May. I can't stand them, so they're going to draft them. I can guarantee you that now. The Pats need to take Marvin Harrison. Let me ask you this, Jones. You, in 2003, 2004, you have a choice to take in either Larry Fitzgerald or Carson Palmer. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I would take Fitzgerald out of those two, knowing how it played out. But at the time, I would have defended the logic of taking the quarterback. And Robert, thank you for the phone call. Or I'm sorry, Gary, thank you for the phone call.
The third pick this year, we should take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Is his logic, Zeke's brought this up a lot. Is he saying they should take the quarterback and trade up and get Harrison? Because that would just cost you an astronomical amount. If he's saying trade up, I don't get why Chicago or Washington are trading back. If he's saying trade up for Harrison, I definitely don't get it because Harrison will be there at 3. Mm. So it's a long way of saying I don't really understand his phone call.
I am lost. I need GPS.
Arcan, those are your people. Those are the people that want the wide receiver. That person spoke for you.
Yes, although I didn't quite follow him either. I didn't quite follow. He's like, no. Listen, I agree with everybody.
Look,
you get this guy and you get this guy.
Here's what I want. Okay. Here's what I want. Assuming Brady's not actually coming back, here's what I want. I want them to take Drake May at 3. And then I want them to trade up from 34 and go get a receiver in the 20s. That kind of trade up is reasonable. That won't cost you a lot. That's what I want them to do. Trading up with like next year's first and a 2026 first back into the top 5 to get Marvin Harrison or 6, as he said, I don't think that's feasible. That's going to cost you way too much. And I'm not even sure the Giants would take that deal.
I think it's goofy. But I kind of agree with your plan, except I would have them trade up for a tackle. Sorry.
Ugh. The only time I got on board with drafting a tackle is if Brady's back. And that's only because I'm willing to just bend whatever Brady wants, I'm willing to bend the knee. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. What's your concern level with the Celtics? We can get further into the national media turning on the seas to a degree. We can also get further into what teams in the East scare you. Are the Knicks one of them? All that
plus Patriots and Red Sox phone calls if they're hanging out after trending.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With our kid.
Jones and Mego.
I never said I could take on a hippo.
No, in fairness, you did.
With Arcand.
You ever see a hippo eat a watermelon? It's amazing.
On Boston Sports Original.
I wonder what Arcand just does with his time.
I watch hippos eating watermelons.
WEEI.
Did you like the effort level in the first half?
I did not like the effort level in the first half. But like you said, I think it's just a tough spot to be in. You know, I think... I thought our guys have handled that as best as they could. And you ran into our last two games against two teams that are highly, highly desperate. And as much as we want to be able to simulate that, that's just not the position that we're in. But I actually don't mind the result of the last two games because I think that's important. Like, you know, going in with a bunch of wins and feeling good about yourself isn't any better than, you know, having a little bit of a bloody lip because of a game. So. They've done the best they could over the course of this stretch, however it's been, a week and a half, but no, I didn't like it in the first half.
I don't know how Mazzulla's answer can be so all over the map. He's like, no, Gary, I did not like the effort, but I'm actually happy with how things went. It's like he started from what I thought... certainly a place I agree with, and what I thought was the right message to his team. Like, no, I don't like the effort, Gary. But then he's like, ah, it's actually good, and he, like, lets him off the hook, which, Joe, you're the one who has to deliver the message to the players. Part of your job is whether or not guys are ready or not, pushing the right buttons. And when they're not, that's a reflection on you. So you're letting them play that way. That's on you. And... I just don't like how he said that after the game. I thought he was about to go after them a little bit, and I think Mazzulla, to a degree, is afraid of the players because he knows who really runs the team. And if he pisses off Tatum and Tatum's in his corner and they lose, Tatum's going to be like, yeah, you know what? Don't bring this guy back. I'm out.
He's also saying so they can't simulate the level of desperation that these other teams in the Eastern Conference are playing with because they're fighting for home court advantage or for their other things in their seeding. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so what you're kind of telling us is You don't have control over the players, as you said, Jones. You also don't have anybody in the locker room who's setting that tone. Because we hear it's certainly not Tatum.
Nope.
It's certainly not Porzingis. And I'm sorry, I know we always go back to Kevin Garnett, but you think about, like, could you imagine a Garnett team playing like these couple of teams have played?
It's a good question. How'd they play late in 2008? You were talking about the last 10 years. I'll look that up. But, Arkham, what'd you think of those Missoula comments?
I thought they were similar to what you said, the words of a guy who doesn't want to say the wrong thing. And I think that, you know, you look at what they're up against right now and how he's been really defensive at random points in the season over certain questions about the way they shoot threes or the defense or various, you know, topics that kind of are his triggers that you've noticed over the course of this season. I think he's been a lot more defensive this season than he was last year. And I think that's not a coincidence. I think that there's some pressure that he's feeling about this. He knows that these losses don't look great, and he knows what people, the national pundits, are saying about this team and how, you know, people just don't believe in them in that way. Celtics fans do, and Jones obviously does, but I just think that there's sort of a wait-and-see aspect of it that he's not comfortable with, and he shouldn't be because he doesn't have that kind of cushion, I guess, is the best word for it. He doesn't have that kind of security, I would say, in his job. And I don't think he's going to get fired if they blow it again this year, but I think next year it's on the table for sure.
The Celtics in 07-08 won, I counted quickly, I think it was 11 out of their last 12. And they lost one game on April 9th to the Wizards, Mego's Wizards, and then they won four straight. Now, the counterpoint
to that...
And then
they almost lost to the Hawks.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The counterpoint to that is they were red hot, and then they couldn't put away Atlanta. They couldn't win a road game until, what, the Eastern Conference Final? They couldn't win a road game.
Yeah. Look, it's to me, the only thing that worries me in any way, and like I said before, my concern level is low with how this team is performing against these other Eastern Conference teams recently. The only thing that really bothers me is whether they're using the opportunity to fix some of the things that still aren't solved for them. Like, this team isn't perfect, okay? Like, they still are seeking some solutions, particularly the end of game, the clutch minute problems that they have with Tatum, how disorganized they look when they're just inbounding the ball and trying to, you know, if they're down 3 points or something and they're just trying to figure out the math of the thing. Like, it just looks disorganized. It looks like something that I'm really not confident in. They could have used a couple opportunities against Atlanta to sort that out. They didn't do it. And you certainly weren't in that opportunity last night. But I just look at it and I go, okay, so if you haven't figured that out yet, and I don't think that they have, you're going to be figuring that out in, like, the second round? I don't really love the idea of that.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of that either. So real quick, before we get into the scariest player in the Eastern Conference, Ryan just dropped in something very interesting. And I'm not totally sure I agree with the logic here, but Sean Grandy tweeted out, with the East play-in all but locked, Miami remains the most likely first-round opponent for the Celtics. The Heat would get the tiebreaker with Philly and home court in the 7-8 game if they can just gain a game on them this weekend. And so let me go to the NBA standings because Grandy has now confused me. Miami is presently in the 8th spot. If they catch Philly, this is what I don't get about his point. If they catch Philly and they have home court, aren't they likely to go to 7?
Right. If they win,
yeah.
If you'd have the tiebreaker, that'd make them the 7th.
So, like, look, let me just ignore what Grandy tweeted there. Right now, season ends today, you're getting Miami. How do you feel about that real quick? Yeah, how do you feel about that, Mego?
So I'm going to, like, kind of contradict myself a little bit on these 2 points that we're making, but I actually feel good about it. I think that's a good way for the Celtics to start.
Snaps them awake.
Yeah, have some vengeance from last year, sure. And I think that they'll come out and try to make a statement against that team after the way that the playoffs ended for them against them last year.
Yeah, look.
Porzingis will be thrilled to get punched in the face constantly. Just constant punches to the face for Porzingis.
Look, they would beat Miami. I will pick them to beat Miami. I'm just telling you, that's a nightmare matchup. I understand what you're saying. I've heard others say it. It would be like Brooklyn a couple of years ago in the first round. It snapped them awake. They went all the way to the NBA Finals. They lost in Game 6, blah, blah, blah. I get the logic. I don't want Miami in the first round. I would way rather Philly, who never gives them problems. I know they had to go to Game 7 last year. They never lose to that team. They never will lose to that team. I'd take Atlanta, who just beat them a couple of times. I'd take any of those teams. I don't want Miami in the opening round.
Is it better to have Miami in the opening round or Miami after they've caught momentum, like,
fair,
two rounds later?
I guess my real answer is I don't want Miami anywhere, but in that scenario, Mego, they're scarier in, like, the Eastern Conference Final than the first round. I agree with you on that. Who's the scariest player? Let's give Arkan some credit, or at least I will.
Mm-hmm.
Mego's dug in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the scariest player left in the Eastern Conference, Arcand?
Right now, it's Jalen Brunson.
Aside from the Celtics,
it's Jalen Brunson. He's been unbelievable for over a month now. He had that 60-point game against the Spurs, and this past month, he's averaging almost 40 points a game. He is locked in about as well as you can say about anybody in the league this entire season, any stretch that anyone's had. So I'd say it's definitely Brunson.
Mega?
Look, I think Brunson's good, absolutely. But I would still go with Jimmy Butler. I know that sounds ridiculous, but playoff Jimmy Butler is somebody who's always giving you headaches. Since he's been in Miami.
Hasn't Brunson been really good in the playoffs? And I know he's not like Butler level, but like Brunson in Dallas and last year, I think was good in the postseason. And I know the Knicks lost. Who'd they lose to in round two? Oh, Miami.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's score one for Butler. I just feel like Jalen Brown's gone to another level. Jalen Brunson, rather, has gone to another level. But I'll probably be eating my words if Jimmy Butler is dominating the Celtics again in a postseason series. My answer, I'm with Arcan. Arcan was right. He was ahead of the curve. He said this last year. For the Celtics, who's the scariest player left in the East? Jalen Brunson. They couldn't guard Brunson last night. And it's not like it was all Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser. They had their full team at home. They couldn't stop him.
And everybody was trying to guard him, too. You had switches and rotations and everything. And I looked down at that box score on NBA.com that tells you all the matchups that Greeny loves, and it was ugly. For every single person who tried to guard Jalen Brunson, he was like 3-for-4 with like 2 threes against everyone.
You also beat them 4 out of 5 games this year.
Sure, sure. We're talking about right now.
Okay.
I mean, how many times did they beat Miami this year? A whole bunch.
I'm just not as scared of Jalen Brunson as Arcan has been for over a year now.
Okay, well, I think Arcan was onto something. You don't want to give him any credit for that?
Not yet. Let's see what he does in the playoffs.
Okay, I'm telling you, he's been good in the playoffs before.
Okay, let's see what he does in the playoffs this year.
The Celtics swept.
I am not giving credit yet. I'm not giving credit yet.
Okay, but I'm just saying, by your logic, you're like, well, the Celtics beat the Knicks 4 times. They swept Miami. They didn't lose a game to Miami.
Okay. Well, Jimmy Butler is a different guy.
Okay, that's fine.
This is where I started from. I said, I know this is going to sound a little bit like I'm contradicting myself. Yes, I'm afraid of Jimmy Butler, but I also think that Miami is a good matchup for the Celtics for the first round.
It's okay to contradict yourself if you announce that you're about
to. Yeah, that doesn't quite make sense to me. But I'm not actually afraid of anybody. But out of the teams that are, if I have to say who scares me the most, the Celtics should beat every single one of them. But who scares me the most? I don't want Miami. But Brunson's a scary player, and he showed it last night. So what do you guys think? 6-1-7?
And Arcan, the point is nobody in the Eastern Conference really scares me.
Fair. I mean, listen, no one has to scare you. And
she
says the
that,
Knicks
but then,
as a team,
but then she sounds a little afraid of Miami.
The Knicks as a team, they're not like the scariest team. I'd rather face the Knicks, I think, than the Heat, or the Knicks than the Bucks. But Jalen Brunson right now is someone that has my full attention. Absolutely.
617-779-7937. What's your concern level with the Celtics? High, medium, low, or zero? We'll get the national perspective on this coming up from Shaq and Charles Barkley. But in the meantime, let's get to some phone calls. This is, I'm being told, a different David in the car from who we talked to earlier today. David's waiting patiently on the Pats. Go ahead, David. Hello, David in the car. Hello.
He's acting like a real David in the car. I'll tell
let's,
you what.
It must be the
He's
same
pulling
David in the
such
car.
A David in
let's,
the car right
let's
now.
Let's put David in the car back on hold. Let's go to Allison in Cambridge. It's something we talked about earlier.
It's
worth circling back to.
Hi, Allison.
Welcome back.
Thank you. the Sedano Rafael idea, Jones, you said, of having him play shortstop. Lou Maloney said that last week, that Sedano Rafael apparently could be a gold glove shortstop as well as center fielder. And all the pitchers that got their ground ball pitchers. And so it really hurts us in every way not to shortstop. And so that Lou Maloney said, is Sedano Rafael shortstop and having Jaron Duran be center fielder, would you go down a little bit there, but not so much? And that. Because you're just hurting the pitchers so much if we don't have great infield defense.
Yeah, okay. Well, Allison, I appreciate the phone call, and I respect what Lou said.
What's your favorite Jaron Duran song? Mine's Hungry Like the Wolf.
Really? Because mine's Hungry Like the Wolf.
I do respect what Lou says and his baseball acumen, but let me just push back on the infield defense and the starting pitching. This is since Trevor Story went down. Mm-hmm. Here's what the starting pitchers have allowed. Okay. On Saturday night in Oakland, Garrett Whitlock allowed 0 earned runs. The next game in Oakland, let's see, that was who? Tanner Houck, 0 earned runs. Let me go through these Baltimore games. Your starting pitcher in the first Baltimore game on Tuesday? Brian Bale, 1 earned but 3 runs. So that was a little bit iffy.
That
for
was
sure.
defense.
And it was the defense. Cutter Crawford, 0 earned runs.
Yeah, he was good.
Last night, Garrett Whitlock, One earned run.
Yeah, they blew the game open in the 10th inning.
So, like, all right, all the fussing about the starting pitchers and the ground balls, and I've heard this, like, that hasn't really been the case. Their infield defense let them down last night, for sure. Reyes with an error at third. Hamilton whiffed on the bag at second. Massive play.
Well, you know who else let them down? Is Chris Martin and Isaiah Campbell, who's Bingo. Got like a 12.75 ERA. Hey,
Isaiah Campbell just flat out stinks. Chris Martin really let them down because he's actually good. Isaiah Campbell just stinks. That's like
Hamilton. Okay, you can still let people down.
No, you can.
Stinky.
But it's like, but that's on the Red Sox. That's not on Isaiah Campbell. You stink. David Hamilton, you stink. It's on the Red Sox for rolling you out there and putting you in a position that you're not cut out for. So, like, Martin's one thing. Or, you know, even a guy like Reyes, who I do think is a big leaguer, improved it last year. That's another. But some of the guys they're playing out of position, like, how long can you scrape that together? So, on Sadon Rafaela, people like Lou who were saying that last week, moving to shortstop, they are right. I was fighting that last week. I'm like, don't take him out of center field. I would move him to shortstop, but I don't think the issues with starting pitchers and ground balls, I don't think that's manifested yet. But give it time, it probably will.
Doesn't mean it's not in the future. As Tomasi said, what did Tomasi say the other day? He said,
was,
like, the nightmares are nightmares of the future,
yes,
or something.
I believe it was the opener was a disaster, and it's a sign of disastrous things to come.
I don't get
something,
it.
Something like that. Let me hear from Shaq and Chuck. Let's hear from Shaq first. He is not buying in on the Celtics. Go ahead, Shaq.
Which team are you hearing could win a championship that you just don't see it?
Overrated, Boston.
Wow. Boston, easily the best record in the NBA.
Yeah, but you got to show me. I've been in this league, around the league a long time. I've seen a lot of guys that have had great regular season, but they don't win championships.
Okay, so that was Shaq Pryor. To the game last night, and this was the Big Pod with Shaq. Is that his podcast, Arcan? You're the Shaq expert.
I'm not familiar. Is that the one he had where he was doing like relationship stuff and his chair broke in the middle of it?
It's the big maybe. I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. You're talking about Christian Fourier.
Oh, the Christian Fourier broken chair podcast, of course.
This is the Big Podcast with Shaq, and is that Adam Lefko? I believe that's Adam Lefko. Okay.
I think he's just going by Lefko now.
Oh, he's just going by Lefko, which he made a nice cameo.
Brazilian soccer player.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a hot take by Shaq, not buying the Celtics. They got to prove it, which is not that dissimilar than something Shaughnessy wrote in the Globe today. Basically, they're not great all-time Celtics until they win.
Called them a bunch of Antoine Walker.
He did. He said they're closer to Antoine than they are to some of the guys who won, which I fully agree with, and I agree with Shaq. Here's Charles Barkley on the idea of the Celtics coasting through the end of the regular season and then flipping the switch.
Shaq asked me earlier if Tatum and Brown should play. If they're going to play like that, they shouldn't play. The year we made it to the finals, we had the best record in the NBA, and we shut it down the last 2 weeks of the season. It took us two rounds of the playoffs to get it back. We lost the first two games at home to the Lakers. I've always said to myself, they had nothing to do with us losing to the Bulls in the finals, but I'm saying I regret it to this day that, like, yo, man, you play to the end of the season. If you're going to play. Now, if you don't go into – like Shaq said, he wouldn't play them. Don't play them. But if you're going to go out there and half-ass it, like they did in Milwaukee the other night where they didn't shoot a free throw. Like they won an entire game but didn't shoot a free throw. And then they come out tonight and they're just kind of going through the motions. I know they're going to finish with the best record, but, man, you just can't turn it off and turn
– Can't turn it off and turn it on, he said there. And so, I don't know. I just find it interesting that Barkley and Shaq and maybe the – hot takes, looking for clicks, controversy. Like, maybe it's that, and shame on anybody who does that. Like, whose approach...
Just, it's just disgusting.
Whose approach in media could possibly be that, besides Mego with the Red Sox? Who would possibly do something like that?
I don't know. Hey, it's Jones.
But I just... When it comes to this team, it doesn't feel like they're buying in, and it's because of what they watched last year in the Eastern Conference Final, or the year prior against the Golden State Warriors, or the year before that. So, like, I find that interesting and noteworthy after these regular season losses, those two, and even before it, going into the Knicks game last night in the case of Shaq, they're not fully bought in, which I find interesting because here in Boston, we're mostly fully bought in.
How much of it do you think has to do with Mazzulla as the coach when you're hearing from these guys or you're hearing from the national media?
I don't think that's what either of them detailed, to be honest. They both cited players. So I don't think that's what they're citing, but maybe that's part of why they feel that way.
Yeah, but it's like, again, it goes back to the original point of conversation that you started, which is when you hear Mazzulla talking, how much direction does he have over the players? And I know sometimes I jump directly to Mazzulla, but
you do.
It is like a whole relationship that he has to have with the locker room. motivating the locker room. Sure. He talks about setting the standard with the locker room.
Look, I think your coach can absolutely get in the way. I think Mazzulla's done a better job of not getting in the way this year yet. I mean, let's see. Doc is an awful coach. Doc ran circles around him in that Philly series last year. So let's see if he's made any improvements. Kevin is in Brookline waiting patiently. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, James, Jonesy, hey, Mago, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
I think, Jonesy, we're getting back to it's Joe time again. You know, I mean, the issues with the end of the game stuff with Tatum and the isolation. Okay, he's not a guy that breaks people down.
Kevin, what was Missoula's fault about last night? They lost by 31. What did Missoula do wrong last night? That felt like it was the players.
Well, he's in charge of getting the team ready, isn't he? I mean, half the time he takes them out at halftime. The last two games.
I agree with that. I said that earlier. If that's your criticism of him, I think that's fair. But largely, I mean, there was no endgame situation where they got let down last night. They were blown out. He had to sit everybody. And the team woke up when he sat everybody.
Well, my point is, if they're not going to play like Barkley says, if they're not going to play to win, don't play him. But, I mean, he sees what's going on the floor. I mean, they're down by 20 at halftime to the Knicks at home. It's like they're certainly not ready to play. And Joe thinks you're going to coast into this, and everyone's going to be ready when the bell rings. It doesn't work that way. And, again, Joe is the biggest demon on this team. Forget the players. Don't blame Tatum. Don't blame Tatum for this end of the game.
Okay, but Kevin, and I appreciate the phone call. I would ask this to you and everybody else who feels this way. How come they lost with Brad Stevens as the coach then? How come they lost with Ime Udoka as the coach? How come they lost last year with Mazzulla? Like, it feels like there's a trend larger than just the coach. So, Mazzulla's not a great coach. Let's agree on that. But
the idea that you can't blame Tatum, you blame Joe Mazzulla for not motivating Jason Tatum enough before the game is absurd. Just letting the players off the hook completely.
Joe Mazzulla's why Tatum sucked in the NBA Finals against the Warriors. Or why the whole team went into the tank in the bubble when Brad Stevens was the coach. Like, that's foolish. And so it's more than just Mazzulla. But if you want to say you didn't have him ready to go the other night, fine. And if you want to say you should sit these guys down, I think you're getting that tonight against I highly doubt the starters are playing again this year.
Well, only a couple of them are questionable now. It started off like the entire starting five was questionable. Now it's just Jaylen Brown, Jrue Holiday, and Al Horford, meaning White, Tatum, and...
Tatum's going to play?
So I take that back. So all those guys are going to play.
And who am I missing?
I guess Tatum took off the Bucks game, so maybe he doesn't want the
and Derek White.
Yeah. Okay.
And Porzingis.
Anybody else?
No. Porzingis, White, and Tatum are playing.
Okay. 617-779-7937. I thought they were all questionable earlier, which I took as none of them are playing, but apparently some are. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Arkham, what's coming up in triple play?
Coming up in triple play today, we'll fill in some blanks and... Tom Brady's in the news. He's one of the blanks we'll be filling.
Okay.
That's really weird how I just...
That is...
But you know what I mean.
That's yucky, but we'll make that less gross next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's going to be a triple play!
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play!
Top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mago.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. Triples makes it safe. And it is Friday, Jones and Mago, that makes it a fill-in-the-blank Friday. So let's start filling in some blanks.
Number one.
Mago, we will start with you. If Tom Brady, as he hinted on the haircut podcast, unretires, joining the blank would be his best option.
Got to turn my mic on. Option, yeah, absolutely the 49ers. Niners make sense. His hometown team, who he wanted to play for after the Patriots last time that he had the opportunity to play for another team. And they just have, like, the best roster. Good coach, I think it would be just an absolutely, like, super favorite. Also, he wouldn't have to go through Mahomes over in the NFC, so it makes sense.
Let me give you another NFC team, and this is one my guy Cowherd was floating the other day, and apparently it's a team that called Tom Brady last season. Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. They need a quarterback. Kirk Cousins is gone. They're desperate to trade up for, like, J.J. McCarthy and bums like that. You have, when healthy, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison to start the year, and then at some point, Hockenson is going to return. Tom Brady's got family in Minnesota. I forget. I think on his mother's side. Give me the Vikings. Good fit for Tom Brady. Not as interesting and not as fun as the 49ers, but they have a much bigger need at quarterback.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to our second fill in the blank.
Number two.
All right, Jones, you can't say Tiger Woods. Your favorite golfer to watch is or was blank.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to go with a was in the past. My favorite golfer to watch right now, I mean, look, there's a few guys I root for. I like Morikawa. I like Finau. I like Xander Schauffele. I would probably lean Schauffele out of those three. They're all American. They're all relatively young. And none of them have broken through and won at the Masters in their case, I believe, right? I guess I'd have to double check that. But I don't think anyone has broke through and won at the Masters yet. They have broken through and won major championships outside of Finau. And so to me, those are three players that I like watching. If I had to prioritize them, I would put Schauffele at the top of the list.
Nobody. I don't watch golf. I'm not going to pretend like I like golf. Like, I don't care. I don't bet on golf. I don't watch golf. I don't follow golf. I don't play golf.
Does Mr. Who watch golf?
No.
Why?
He doesn't care about it either.
Why?
There's so many other sports to watch. Like, I'm not interested in golf.
Like, what's to watch right now? It's on during the day. What's to watch?
Well, first of all, during the day, I'm working. So,
okay,
no,
so
I'm not watching golf.
So am I. I'm watching it.
So over
right
there, I'd have to turn on here's the golf. I don't care. I told you earlier, like, I don't understand this bucket list obsession with the Masters and going to the Masters. It looks like church outside. I feel like I go to the Masters, I just fall asleep at Amen Corner.
Yeah, but you go to church by choice.
I go to church and I'm bored.
Okay, but like, but you, but I don't.
Yeah,
go,
but you know what doesn't drive you to the Masters? Guilt.
Yeah, I would way rather go to Augusta than church. But so, Arkan, do you?
I'm beginning to think that Mego can't name one golfer.
Yeah, is that, you think that's what it is?
Can you not name one golfer?
Max Homa.
Ooh,
he's a golfer.
He's glanced at the leaderboard.
He had a good. He's having a good day.
No, but I know him from podcasts. To be honest.
Oh, what podcast?
He goes on Marcelo's podcast.
He does.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Couple guys talking about golf.
Couple of bros talking golf.
I'm not gonna be like a fake, like, who I really like last week. Like, no, I don't watch golf.
I like,
I'm sorry.
I like rooting for Dustin Johnson when Paulina's there.
Yeah. Maybe one day I will.
I like DJ.
My
favorite's probably Freddie Couples, though. I used to love Freddie
Couples. Oh, Freddie Couples.
Love the swing. He was American. He was winning all those tournaments. The American guy winning. I used to love Freddie Couples.
I used to like to play with, who was the fat guy? Craig Stadler? I used to like to play him in video games. Was it Craig Stadler? Portly, maybe is a better word than fat.
You mean there was a fat golfer?
How?
I find that hard to believe.
Oh, really? The answer, though, is John Daly. It's got to be John Daly, right? Like, he was fun to watch.
Look, I'm going to be honest.
You watch him, he's like ripping sticks.
I appreciate Daly as an adult. I don't really think I liked John Daly as a kid. I wasn't like, ooh, yeah, John Daly. I was not like a Daly
fan. He doesn't respect the game.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but
I
appreciate John Daly now. I guess that might have been
Baby
what it was.
Baby Jones was like,
he doesn't have any moxie.
No, I mean,
that does sound like
he doesn't replace his divots.
Ironically, he's got plenty of moxie. But so Mego hates the Masters.
Hates golf in general.
Hates golf in general.
I
can't name a golfer.
I would say it's more, I'm totally ambivalent.
Okay.
It's not like hate.
Did she name one? I don't
hate
think she actually
caring.
Named one.
Yeah, she did.
First and last name?
Max Homa.
Max Homa.
Oh, she did. I thought she said that Max something. I'm sorry. So there you go. Max Homa, which a good pull. I enjoy watching the Masters. And again, the idea that there's sports on, no, there isn't. That's why the Masters is good. There's nothing else on right now. That's why I'm watching.
All right, let's get to our third fill in the blank.
Number three.
Mega, we will start with you. If you were a professional baseball player, either your walk-up song to come out to bat or your song to come out and close the game out, if you were a closer, would be blank.
Okay, these are two very different things. So,
well, pick which one.
I got it right here. Come, my lady. Come, my lady. You're my butterfly. Sugar. Oh, I'm sorry.
Walking out there with the bat. Either Confessions Part 2.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Or the Wear Sunscreen song.
You're going to really strike fear into the hearts of the opponents.
Yeah. I think I should introduce Tristan Cassis to that song. Do you think he'd like it?
Can I ask a question? Why are they different, your walk-up song versus coming out of the bullpen? Why are they different?
Oh, my coming out of the bullpen song would be Paint It Black.
But what's different?
What's different?
Yeah.
I think like you can get a little sillier with the walk-up song, but when you're coming out of the bullpen, it's got to be really intimidating.
Okay.
I guess I think it should be intimidating coming up to bat. Yeah, but I guess it's up to you. It's up to whoever. It's an open question.
But I think I would answer it the same way. That's the only reason why I asked, why would you do it any differently?
Yeah, I think you have to, it's got to be like, it's got to be intimidating coming out of the bullpen. At bat, it's like, whatever.
I would want to psych people out. Mego, I think, haven't you talked about this? For like walk-up songs or like playlists for like high school basketball teams and things like this, you want to psych people out? So I'd go with something very off-brand. Maybe something like,
sunscreen?
Yeah, Texas Hold'em, Beyonce. Like, give me that. I'll come out, really throw people off and come
Love
out.
Love on Top by Beyonce.
Like something that's going to really like throw
baby,
people off.
Baby, and like, Jones is walking
what?
Out. Jones
what is
like,
this?
Jones is swinging the cake around. They're like, okay,
so give me
where
that.
Do we pitch this guy?
Give me that answer. That's how I would vote. Arcan, how would you vote?
I think for my walk-up song, I would be into maybe something by like the Far Side, like Your Mama by the Far Side. I like that song. It doesn't have anything to do with baseball, but I just enjoy it.
That's a deep hip-hop Arcan cut.
Yeah, and walk out.
I've got no opinions on that.
Walk out from the from the bullpen, maybe One Big Room by Lil Wayne. That'd be one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
What's that one?
It's him rapping over that Krayshawn song. That Gucci
that?
Gucci song. Remember that Gucci Gucci song that was
really
popular
really
in like 2013?
No.
It was that girl who was rapping, and then Lil Wayne did a cover of it, and I think it's better. But that's what I would pick to come out of the bullpen.
I like that. I don't know the other one.
Yep.
Gotta say.
Okay. So there you go. What's your walk-up song? What's your bullpen song? You can vote 617-779-7937. I wish that Edwin Diaz hadn't stolen Tommy Trumpets. Timmy Trumpets?
Timmy Trumpets.
That's the song. That's the song to
I feel
come
like
out.
I haven't that heard that much rolls. Lately.
He set the bar. He set the bar so high. I don't know how you can do any better than that.
Well, Mariano, Enter Sandman.
Oh, I think Timmy Trumpets, that elevated.
Better than Enter Sandman?
Yes.
I feel like Enter Sandman really sort of.
Timmy Trumpets was a party.
Thing. It was.
That was a party.
What was Trevor Hoffman? He'd come out to AC/DC, right?
Yeah, Hell's Bells.
Yeah,
that what it was?
That was pretty good.
Trevor Hoffman stunk, though.
Who is the dork on the team last year? Was it Turner who had Boston by Augustina or whatever it is? Do you remember that?
I don't know.
I think I'll go
Boston. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't recognize that by name or
who was
artist
the guy before. Whose walk-up song was his wife's Christian rock music? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, who was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait. Ben Zobrist.
Yes,
Ben Zobrist, whose wife then allegedly cheated on him with the pastor.
Yeah, weird.
Rough. That's where he played her song every time he came up to bat, and she's still unfaithful.
You're so whipped. You play your wife's song walking up to the plate, and the next thing you know, she cheats on you. That's
brutal.
That's what you deserve.
Brutal.
That's what you deserve. Anyway, that's Triple Play each and every day at this time. 617-779-7937. You could jump in line there. Why wouldn't you want to? We'll get back to the Red Sox. They have a 3-game set with the Angels. They just got swept by Baltimore. What's closer to the real Boston Red Sox? Starting 7-3 out west or these last 3 games against Baltimore? We'll get to it next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan-favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.